Left the keys in the van, with a guy in each hand. Went up in Eastland and shot a policeman. F*** a peace plan, citizen bystands. This shit is in my hands, here's your lifespan. If it what your life's worth, this money is twice then. Grab a couple grand and lay up in Iceland. See, I'm a nice man, but money turned me to Satan. I'm thirsty for this green, so bad I'm dehydrating. Hurry up with the cash, bitch, I got a ride waiting. Shot a man twice in the back when he tried skating. I want the whole pie, I won't be denying Nathan. Maybe I need my head inside straightened. Brain contemplating, clean out the register. Dip before somebody catches ya. I'll get to the description and sketches ya. The connection was the prime suspect. But I ain't set to flee the scene of the crime just yet, cause I got a daughter to feed. And $200 ain't enough to water the seed. The best thing would be for me to leave Taco Bell and hit up Chess King. And that lady at the desk bring money from the safe in the back. Stepped in, waving the Mac. Cooperate, and we can operate and save an attack. This bitch tried escaping the jack. Ratted by the throat, this murder she wrote. You barely heard a word as she choked. It wasn't nothing for her to be smoked. Then I slammed her on the back to the vertebrae broke. Just then, the pigs buzzed in, getting freeze. But I'm already wanted for selling keys. And a bunch of other felonies from A to Z, they spell me.
Yeah, you know, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, and I really like that. Mike has a feeling a lot of times, you know. Mike is on the wheels of steel. He has some feelings about what to play. I don't think it's all randomized, but yeah, I was just getting to my own self-indulgent. At the same time, I began watching The Matrix. So that was some synchronicity. I don't know. Music lets your time travel. That's what I like about music. And movies, too. It can take you back to times that you've forgotten about, and you just find yourself right there again. So I know exactly where I was the first time I heard that song. I think I just got done watching The Matrix with some friends, and you know, we start to put on some music, start to party at that time. And so it's like, wow, here I am, you know, maybe 15 years in the future, talking to the original author of The Matrix. And, you know, I've got my DJ there blasting my favorite music. And it's like, whoa. Not a lot of people can say they've experienced something like that, I don't think. But I feel lucky. I feel like luck, you know what I'd say, power. With power comes great responsibility, but with great privilege also comes a sense of duty, and I can't wait to do everything I can to help Mr. Thomas Althaus. I know I want to do a documentary and get him out to the public on our new platform to come up here. It's going to be made public soon. Thomas, you got to work with me. I need information. I need contacts.
That's the thing. We got so much. That's the thing. It's like you're tapping a vault that's just like miles deep. And there's so much they threw at us. So much they did over this time.
Well, you got to give me some, because we're behind schedule. You got to give me some. I got these guys from the camera. I got it. You know, it's not going to be a lot. You know, like 5 minute piece with this person, the 5 minute piece with that person, and then we're gonna go through the evidence, and then just a short interview with you at the end to tie it all together. You know, what would really be cool is if you have a lawyer to actually come through and you know, verify the documents that are shown.
Yeah, we have the paralegal.
Your strongest weapon. I don't think you'd have a stronger weapon than that. If people started spreading the documentary, spreading the word about this, oh, there's a lawyer, you know, there's legal documentation. If you made it public, what are they going to do in the courtroom? If they denied it in the courtroom, it's only going to show the people that the system does not work. And I think we're going to have another one of those big cracks in the foundation that we need. Because we really do need to start all over. I know a lot of people are scared of change. And that's what it is. People are scared of change. They'd rather slowly lose their freedoms for a little bit of that security. You know? And... yeah, I don't know. I'm the kind of guy, you know. Give me the option between sleeping in a jail cell or being a hobo. I'm probably going to choose being a hobo. I'm going to go freedom all the way. But I know I'm. That's just me. Some people would like to be institutionalized and get that guaranteed 3 meals a day and get butt raped by their bunkmate. And be told by authority what to do every day, just so long as they got that roof over their head, I guess. But that's not me. So, yeah, Tom, gonna do everything we can to help you. I know Will has some really awesome questions here, so I'm gonna let him go ahead and get to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and before, go ahead, Tom. If you're gonna point, but I'm just gonna fine. Before you go, I just want to let people know to join us on air. There's an 800 number, but that's only in extreme emergencies. Save us some money. Call the local number, 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. That number one more time is 512-248-8252. If you need that number or if you want to look up the toll-free number, go to republicbroadcasting.org. Go over there, tons of articles, maybe give us a donation. Doesn't go to V or myself, but it helps have a really great place where people like Tom can get his information out. I'm sorry if I was interrupting you, Tom.
No, I wanted you to speak.
But okay,
yeah,
so...
No, I mean...
A couple questions. We have Lawrence Fishburne, who played Morpheus, and Agent Smith. They're being replaced... do you have any idea on that? Maybe they know what's going on, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. My understanding is they do know what's going on. That's why Andy is trying to keep himself in the background publicly, but still in the project. So we thought that he had pulled himself out, Andy Wachowski. And then you see a clip of him watching things being shot and calling shots and what's done. He just wants to be legally detached from it. So there's a lot of nervous players in this. Like Keanu Reeves went back and forth on it. So yeah, the actors know what's going on.
And now, as far as what's going on with your sister and your son? I know you mentioned a little bit what happened with your son, but if you could kind of go over definitely the angle with your sister. You talked about how you had the honeypot situation. Yeah. You've been somebody that's been targeted big time. But if you want to start with your sister and her husband, I find that particularly interesting.
Yeah, that's really wild because now you've got somebody who reveals the whole cabal trail. I mean, you got Mike Lang sending that on my birthday, July 2nd, sending that message, all these messages to Becca saying move in with him into his mistress pad, you know, for 60 days. That's incredible. Mike Lang, Harvey Weinstein's boss. Then you got Brian Fitzpatrick. Brian Fitzpatrick is a Hollywood FBI.
Interrupt you, Tom, but just so people have a larger context, who's John Lang, and give a little these people a short little bio about them before you delve in a little bit more.
Mike Lang is the one who was the executive at Disney under Michael Eisner. Michael Eisner is really the father of Harvey Ripoff. So Mike Lang is Harvey Weinstein's boss. What Disney did through Michael Eisner is create a position for Mike Lang. He was brought in to to be the executive who was supposed to be in charge of the strategy for acquisition of intellectual property, which is basically steel work. And so what you have is he comes in, Harvey Weinstein's under him in 93 when my work is submitted, hard copy. That was through Robertson's group. Ned and Judy Nankovich got top positions from the East Coast at Robertson's organization, Virginia Beach, in the story development departments of Disney and Universal, Phil Silver and Mike Lang. So what happens, or Michael Eisner, so what happens is you've got Mike Lang becomes the head of Miramax Films. Miramax Films claims they have the Disney library. What's a paper trade? They're Disney. So they get all the hard copy scripts from the early 90s that Disney wants to own, and it's Mike Lang's job with Harvey Weinstein under him to come up with strategies to get that work, wrest it from the hands of the actual authors, and own it. And that's why you start to see this all unfold. Then in an article, when we were brought forward for our Throne case, in 2012, you see an article in Vanity Fair with Mike Lang announcing that he's leaving, unexpectedly leaving Miramax Film, is going to Film Tracks. And he's being replaced by Harvey Weinstein with Disney. So Film Tracks, same goal. He talks in the article about how we have to have a strategy in order to get this work, these hard copy early 90s scripts, which mine is, in a New Jersey warehouse, I kid you not, in a New Jersey warehouse. We have the article. And so his job is to get that acquisition. The idea is that you destroy, harass, outlast, like you were saying earlier, you know, to hamper so that either the author commits suicide, is 302'd, and then you simply create a slot at the Copyright Office to insert their work as yours. That's why Dean Laurentiis, who's with Assassins, with Wachowskis, on the copyright entry of Assassins, De Laurentiis Pictures, Paradise Films, is also then listed without the Wachowskis on the Immortals title. The Immortals title, De Laurentiis, Paradise Films, Laurentiis Pictures, puts it all on there, including the biggest investment firm, all claiming creation of the Immortals. But they have all these extra titles, 347 other titles, but no body of work. That creates slots, the Copyright Office, all the studios that have interest in the Immortals, the actual work that I submitted, I was told to submit through Bonaventura, can then submit their takes, like Altered Carbon, whatever they want, stick it in the slots at the Copyright Office under the Immortals title as a subtitle. It's unbelievable. In the end, De Laurentiis, when I go to Hollywood, takes his name off the Immortals title, and it's strictly the investment firms on it. So you have the situation where they have completely prefabbed intellectual property theft, and keep giving it to failed writers. Bonaventura claims he has a penchant for it. I think that's a cover now. I believe that's a cover by him saying that, you know, I have a penchant for failed writers. No, your system is to give it to failed writers so you have the work in-house and claim it in-house. But in my case, Joel Silver, he entered it first because the Wachowskis were not the first pick to steal it. It was actually the lady who wrote the Heidi Chronicles. Jewish woman who wrote the Heidi Chronicles was supposed to be one. And there was a copyright entry we found. This is mind-blowing. Copyright entry that said Immortals title, and it says no body of work. It says Warner Brothers commissioning Heidi Chronicles writer to write it. What kind of copyright entry is that? So they're creating a slot. So that's just absolutely mind-blowing that they had this system in place to steal work up and down the line, and then have attorneys in place that'll make sure they handle the cases. And then even so far as Honeypot Wives, but we bring together all the different groups and agencies fall under us, and they left trails. Mike Lang left a trail by giving all those emails to Becca on my birthday, asking her to move in with him. Harvey Weinstein's boss. Mike Lang.
And Becca's
left
your
a trail.
Sister. Just for no, Becca, out there, Becca's your sister.
Becca's the Honeypot Wife.
Oh, sorry, my apologies.
They expunged her record was the last thing, or her prostitution record. They expunged it, and the warrants on her. So they kept warrants on her until she did her job at throwing my situation. And then the last thing he did to the family was her record was expunged. My sister, Julie Zarco, well, along comes Brian Fitzpatrick, the Hollywood FBI agent in 2016, approaches my sister, and my sister goes from being, quote, my biggest fan, to trying to destroy her brother. So she disappears. I'm supposed to create despair. Disappears from me. Doesn't answer calls, anything. I'm getting hammered in 2016. And so they do the thing with Becca. Then we find out Ryan Fitzpatrick then moves from a Hollywood FBI operative, which is a lifelong position, still getting for your eyes only from Hollywood, to our district's congressman. So he becomes the Pennsylvania congressman in the district I'm born. So he then handles my sister with appearances on Jimmy Fallon's show, CNN, owned by Warner Brothers, Sandy Hook spokesperson, trips to London, New York, San Diego, the Caribbean, all in the same time, same year, when she's a elementary school counselor. Elementary school counselor, even unlicensed, lowest of the rung of the psych field. How is she affording all this? Unemployed husband. How's it possible? And she gets to be president of the psych people in Pennsylvania and top person in Pennsylvania for psych people, all thanks to Brian Fitzpatrick, lifelong FBI agent, and only one that's also a congressman. Conflict of interest. And so he keeps giving her reward as reward. After the last 302 attempt in Pennsylvania, he gives her honorable mention, big mention, with a picture on the floor of Congress announcing her is like a national treasure. After the failed 302 attempt on me, when I'm hauled off, which I sent a picture of you from the office of where I was, my sister was bragging the Secret Service would be on me. And there they were at the doctor's, on the crisis center, bragging they were going to talk to the doctor that I'd never get out of there. My sister became this horrible monster that was bought, and I have a contact that called me on, I taped it also, where it says, you have to understand your sister was under threat and reward, threat and reward. Well, that mirrors Robertson's language, rewards and honors. That's what he offers people to sell out. And so there's this sellout game. And my sister drunk it up like an alcoholic. She just went for it, hook, line, and sinker. Went so far as cutting me off for 2 years. And when my son Sean was murdered, and I was told he was murdered, she calls me only then. No condolences. Only to say, with this man whispering in the background, claiming she's talking from school and it's a student talking, it's a man's voice whispering, that I was supposed to say I was suicidal, angry, and bipolar. I'm not. I said, Julie, why are you saying this? I'm not. I thought you were calling to offer condolences. And she says, if you don't say it, then you're saying that we can't have a relationship. I said, Julie, we haven't talked in 2 years. You cut me off. We don't have a relationship. Then she even goes on the tape, if you don't say it, then you're saying I don't matter. I was like, what the hell? But I said, Julie, if that's the parameters, you don't matter in the conversation. So then she didn't get me to say it, right? She wanted more whore time with media to be able to say, oh, Tom committed suicide. No, I'm not. I never. So she told the entire family and everyone around her that I called her all the time and said I was. Even though on tape you're hearing me saying, there's no way, I never would. No, Julie, why are you doing this? That's how they work. If they don't get the answer they want, they create the answer they want. And they spread it. Now, Brian. He's announcing that he is part of counterintelligence, espionage. He's getting all these promotions to even the intelligence committee. He's getting, he is the key pin for Hollywood working with FBI. Brian Fitzpatrick. He looks like a bad version of, you know, Pee Wee Herman. And when you hear him talk, it's unbelievable. The homosexual ring from Robertson's group, which is they swing both ways. This is how Brian Fitzpatrick sounds when he does his public calls. Hi, this is Brian Fitzpatrick. I'm really glad that you're supporting me in my endeavors, and I'm happy to say that I'm running for your congressman. That's what he sounds like. I mean, my God, people, you're not even trying to hide it.
Now, going all the way back, I wanted to know what inspired you, because your writing inspired so many things, including, you know, this show and so many people and just a way of thinking. I know, even though I went to the dumbed down, watered down version of The Matrix when it came out in 97, and I was probably maybe like 15 years old or so at the time, I remember, you know, even though it was the Wachowski version, I'd never seen anything like that before in a movie, and it really changed my thinking. So it'd be beautiful if we can help you get your vision off its feet and truly get it in its dopest form and get a big budget on it. But what inspired you? Because I've also read some other things about stuff that's in there, and it's fascinating. So what inspired you to write this masterpiece?
Well, I wanted to lift the ceiling of what's possible through art. I wanted to write something that's never been seen before. And even the music that was submitted, they got upset about, because that was in layers. So I was thinking along the line of layered thinking. What if you wrote things that had lots of layers to it, and audiences had to figure it out for themselves? They had to turn to each other and ask, what does this mean? That would bring audiences together, the world together. It also was a code in it where I felt that people from different disciplines might come together over the work and form a think tank to solve world problems. Cross disciplines, have a compassion, a heart, like the main character. I want to have a main character who doesn't succeed in the end, that he actually does everything he can but didn't succeed. I wanted to break all the rules of Hollywood and put even Christ in the mainstream media, as I was a Christian at the time, you know, a mainstream, and see if it would fly. So he becomes the only way to balance the equation in the end. Because for the architect to balance the equation, which the Wachowskis did not understand, the other Joel Silver, is balancing the equation, using free will. Now you hear them babble about it on set as they make it up as they go along, which is why it's voted one of the 11 worst sequels of all time. But to balance the equation, an architect in a program where he's immortal, atrophying the mind is going to be the big problem. So he has agents stirring up trouble, everything he knows, predictions of what we're going to do, cause and effect, and that's why Neo and Smith's character can't take each other out. It stimulates the architect. And then what happens is he purges them, brings out the untainted humanity of Zion through an oracle, who's to bring him out to see him come back as a Christ, because he doesn't think Christ is going to appear. And that's when I had the actual Christ facing off identical figures at the end. Pulse wave coming out, turning Earth green. Little girl renewed to life. And Neo's daughter hugging him and pointing to the sun. That's why Joel Silver used it in Oblivion after our case was thrown. Disney held Oblivion for Joel Silver. He used that exact ending. And Joel Silver even said that he had a novel that was being done. They scrapped the novel after they threw our case. They never completed the Oblivion novel. Not needed for a so-called source work. But it came from many different things. And the idea of, could humanity have a chance to do it right? Could we actually work from the area of compassion, not greed? So I wrote it as a service to humanity. And I wanted to leave a lot of the backstory out. But I also had lost my family, didn't I, through what happened with Robertson's group. So there's a father writing about reuniting his family. That's why the little girl matters. That's why the little girl's at the train station. That's why the little girl's pointing at the sun at the end. It's me reuniting with my family as the author writing a work to do so. Make it happen.
Now, what will people find on redpillrising.org, redpillrising.org, redpillrising.org? Because there's still going to be people that are somewhat skeptical.
Yeah, what is up with that? Exactly.
Well, that's...
yeah. You know,
there's a lot of people, too, that have been played into this. I mean, I've had a lot of people coming my way. We had a call tonight about one of the ones connected to Spielberg, and they're supposed to act like normal populace, but they will follow and tab on. I'm not saying these people are, but it happens a lot. And they'll even do things like be the last comment on, and it's supposed to, the CIA isn't dumb. The FBI isn't dumb. They try to create it that mainstream is not with us. In fact, the Hollywood Reporter, when they wrote about the case being thrown, they only put negative comments in. It was my sister, actually, that was writing in positive comments and was so upset time about, you know, that only negative comments were there. And the editor said, well, we're only putting in what, you know, what we're told to. And so it was all negative. So it made it look like to the public that it was all negative, that no one's with us, that no one's receiving it. And the public's supposed to follow along and be skeptical. It doesn't matter we hold the copyright. It doesn't matter that Jackson Necker there, Red Pill, Blue Pill, all that stuff, Zion, Underground. It doesn't matter. Train station scene, Liquid Mirror. It doesn't matter my birthday's in it, my high school, everything else. It's like they're trying to show that the public is dumb. That's
Tom,
the idea.
See, Tom, I we had talks about this before. Remember? I mean, even, you know, a year or two back, how they were going to try to control the narrative by speaking for the public. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Tom, you asked a question, and it's unfortunately true. It's easier to fool the public than to show them that they've been fooled. The public, due to a number of reasons, obviously... we're not at our best and brightest capabilities right now, so that's the toughest. It's, you're fighting against an uphill battle, and also the system is completely against you. But I do think that there are some cracks starting to show.
It is.
Not only that, there are some opportunities starting to show. again, we've been working very hard, and I think we are actually going to be able to hear from the public this time, for real, not just what the CIA places on FedBook, but we're going to have a platform, and we're actually going to be able to hear and see what the real people think now.
That's right. And the critical thinking. That's right, the critical thinking. Red pill, blue pill is all about critical thinking. And it's like, I mean, the evidence is irrefutable. What they throw out is, you lost your case. It's like, we never, and this one guy called up, this Orrin Cougar, is a plant from FBI, CIA, made of bones about it, and just was vulgar and pushing the fact. That's the last bastion they have, is that. Well, that was all fraud. There was no due process. It was all fraud. It was all railroaded. Their own attorneys bragging about how much it was screwed. So it's going to be it'll all turn around. But you've got the situation where, yeah, people are supposed to, they want public to feel dumb, and they believe the public is dumb. And I've had CIA operatives talk to me, too, like in the Masons, things like that, even talking about the pancake theory on the buildings, and they can't believe the public believes it. The evidence is irrefutable. It's all there. But the first thing people hear is the first thing they want to believe, and often they'll be emotionally attached to the first choice they make. And so a lot of people will feel emotionally attached to the work, the ripped-off version. They don't want to leave that attachment. Some of their pride and attachment is attached to what they've spoken about it, their theories about it. They don't want to let that go. They don't want to hear that what they were drinking wasn't lemonade. You know, it was something else that was yellow.
Well, you know what? And see, that actually upsets me, because I'm actually very, very excited about that very prospect. Okay, we got this version of the Matrix. Now let's see. Let's go and get the director's cut. I always go to the director's cut after I see a movie and think, you know. And the director's cut is usually always better because, well, the director's director, and forget, you know, Hollywood and their theatrical 1 hour and 30 minutes garbage. So
right.
I always find myself enjoying more of the original work.
Well, you
have
what?
An opportunity here to actually put something out with the original work. And I think people would welcome that opportunity to see how the original work pan out.
I see a whole swing around. You're going to see it. Because what they're doing, the FBI and CIA and the movie moguls and religious right, they're actually trying to prove the audience is dumb by putting all these things in the films, I believe. So that later they go, you guys, all this stuff was here, his birthday was in it, his high school, all this, and you didn't get it? How stupid are you? So it's actually the people that are baiting them to act like they're stupid. It's really dumb. It's crazy. Where we're actually fighting for the masses and the audience. We're fighting for them. You know, we hold the copyright. There is no copyright in the Matrix. There's a copyright on the work, on the Immortals, and they're the ones claiming that title. So it's a done deal. In the future, I always looked at this, in the future, everybody's going to understand it. There'll be no bones about it. But they'll be wondering how people didn't get it now. They'll be wondering. But for the favor of those and the benefit of those in our time, it's not easy. It's not easy. I understand that. It's hard to go against the grain. You'll face ridicule sometimes, a lot. But Red Pill 78, like Will was saying, I mean, redpill.org, redpillrising.org, there you'll see the original inserts. I mean, Central West High, my high school's in the original graphic. My birthday, my dad's name, my name, TA4099 in the column. Yeah, I am. I was. And then you got the corrected birthday. This is even better. July 22nd on the face of that, big bold on the face of that document, the first graphic they put in, right, in the Matrix. And that was what records showed in 1996 as my birthday in 99, as my birthday, July 22nd. Then you have 2003 with Animatrix, and they correct my birthday, because records corrected in 2003, to July 2nd. And they even put 59 on the clock. I mean, come on. So that's why it's hard for me. I hope audiences understand that it's hard for me when I'm approached by certain players, and they go like, no, you're not it. You didn't write. I look at them like they got two heads. Like, okay, whatever. It's all your own. Because it's like, the evidence is irrefutable. I don't mean to be rude, but it's irrefutable. And my sons have paid dearly for it. I got two dead sons and one left. And I'm told that my last living son is alive because they know they're showing I can get to him anytime they want by the cars pulling up and stuff, the planes flying. They're saying they can get to him anytime they want. That's on tape. That's what's keep me from talking. But my son, who's 14, you'll also see on, as Will said, Red Pill Rising. .org. You're going to see the piece he made. Now they claim he never existed. Look at the 2-minute piece my son made. And he capsulized the feeling of what it was like.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Guys, we got to take a quick break. Once again, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Yes, we are back. This is the Redfield Hardcore Radio Show. We got Thomas Althaus here with us, original creator of The Matrix, under the title of The Immortals, stolen by the whackbag Wachowskis. So let's visit a very important point here before we move on to anything else. Now, you mentioned, you know, your children, your offspring being murdered at this point, and that's one of the reasons why I'm hell-bent on making sure your crusade is successful. I've literally had the system in itself manslaughter my very own children. That's why I do this show. That's why I have my crusade. So I want to see you get justice, but at the same time, you know, I've got the vultures, I've got the crows circling. I've had friends call me, you know, tell me that they've come underneath some sort of death threat or indirect death threat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people tried to kill me twice. They know they can't kill me. I've eliminated every aspect of them doing it other than just rushing into my home and murdering me. What are you doing for your self-protection? And even before that, you're not feeling suicidal, are you?
Not at all. Never.
Because even though McAfee said he was not feeling suicidal, I mean, people can believe what they want about Epstein, but McAfee actually said, "Hey, if I end up dead, they killed me."
Right.
So right. At least we can at least have that with you as well, right? You're not feeling suicidal, right?
Not going to happen at all. Never. In fact, I would imagine my sister would be, because she's highs, lows, all over the place, and just rages. So she shows all the signs of being very unstable, seeing a therapist, medicated, and yet she's the one that claimed I am. But the thing, and now alcohol, but the thing is that, for me, no way. Too much to live for.
You have justice to live for. You got your name. You got your work to reclaim. You have everything to live for.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be good. Plus, I found out how to work the system. I mean, when they pulled that thing with, when we learned about Mike Lang at Disney, Harvey Weinstein under Michael Eisner, having the system up along with Robertson, that was, you know, the author dies, you take the slot and insert his work. So what I did was I shared my copyright with some other writers, other families that were artists that didn't want anything from me, but were good people. And so I put their names on it, so if anything happened to me, they can't just absorb my work into those slots. So that was a strategy that beat Mike Lang's system. They didn't expect anybody to share that like that. The other thing I did was I had more work. I have a contact that called me on the phone from Disney, and they were asking about the other do I have any other work? And I said, of course I do. I've been prodigious. I've been working since, you know, 93. So, yeah, I said I have 14 at the time, now going on 15 screenplays. Like, well, how do we know? How do we know you're not a two-hit wonder? I said, you'd think I haven't made things after that? At least they said two-hit wonder, meaning the domestics, Greenlighted for Off-Broadway, The Sheen. So they're saying, you know, two-hit wonder. I said, of course I've been working. They said, well, we'll see it. I said, I'm not going to see it. But I said, if anything happens to my loved ones, anything happens to them, that work's destroyed. I don't have it on the computer. It'll be destroyed. You can't break it and enter and take it. And they're like, you can't do that. I'm like, yes. If anything happens to that, them, it's gone. The world doesn't get it. I'm not going to have it in a world where they don't exist. And that got them. That worked. So my insurance policy is their own greed. They want the work that I have still.
Well, I do know, once again, you know, the government's offing everybody right now. They're trying to kill everybody. I mean, they're not even being subtle about it. Okay, we got you in custody. You're in police custody, you're in government custody, and we're gonna kill you. They're not even being subtle with car crashes or you know, cutting your brake lines. They're not even being subtle about it anymore. We're flat out gonna murder you.
Yeah, how they killed my son. They weren't subtle at all. Stupid. Absolutely dumb. Because they want to be clever. So they have to make it into a thing that ties in cleverly with films. It's just, they're idiots. They're absolute idiots. And you're going to see a whole new golden age in film once we get these clowns out of the picture, out of the way. So,
that's what I'm talking about. You are obviously going to be underneath some relative danger, especially, you know, with you knowing everything else about the industry, the pedophilia and all that. I would love it. I mean... we got this Feldman character, right? This has-been actor who, you know, I'm not going to tell you who the pedophiles are unless you give me $10 million. Okay, so he's worthless. So, I mean, I think it would be awesome if you did, if you were successful in making these clowns pay, and then, yeah, exposing all these pedophiles and flipping the whole industry on top of itself. We might actually get some real work and originality again in our movies. Get this MK Ultra mind control repetitiveness out of our movies. I mean, I think you could single-handedly save Hollywood.
No problem. Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. They're saying they can't believe I survived the character and tax with all this stuff, even with all the people hacking away and putting, like, even TMZ launching all the bashing and stuff through their own attorney owning or attorney for TMZ. But the thing is, like, yeah, that what I'm told, I have a contact even on tape saying, you've won the chess game, Tom. It's all about power. And I even asked the question, I said, well, why would you do this to me and my family? Why would they do this to me and my family? They go, Tom, you have to realize it's all about power. So what about serving other, like the world and humanity through art? They don't understand that. Tom, they don't understand power. And I said, well, they're very limited. They're about, like, an education. Because compassion is much stronger. If you're all about power and only about power, then you're not going to have a very good friend alignment, are you? That means that you're out for your self in the end. And that's what they actually believe. But if you're about compassion, that means, first of all, you're never going to commit suicide, basically. You're going to keep going on because compassion is going to drive you on. I can't lift humanity. I can't serve humanity. I can't help people that need to be helped if I'm dead. So I'm not leaving. I'm going to finish the job.
That's what I'm talking about. Soldier, do your duty. Yes, absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear Thomas Althaus bit the dust, he was, in fact, murdered. Can we, you know, I almost want to suggest putting a live feed on you, like a camera feed, you know, like one of those historical sites, you know, you can see around the world with the camera feeds. We should just have a camera feed on you in your house and just make sure, you know, the whole world can watch you.
That's a great idea.
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, if somebody comes to your door, you get nabbed, blackbagged, you know, well, then we know.
That's right.
Something happens to your internet feed, something's fishy going on, that would immediately... just like red flags, you know. There's a lot of voyeurs out there who would love to just see what you do all day. You know,
well, we don't nonstop talk. Watch him all the time, but I mean, I would definitely recommend some. And that's why I said John Lang when you're talking about Mike Lang, because Mike Lang is a guy that set up a whole bunch of security camera systems. It still ultimately didn't help, but at least we know what happened after the fact. And yeah, nor Mike would ever harm ourselves. It's an honor to be alongside these guys fighting, because it's not an easy thing to go against these people, and that's why people like Tom are so few and far between, unfortunately. And I know we only got about like 10, 12 minutes left. Talk about redpillrising.org.
Well, hold on. I want to get more into Red Pill Rising, but I just want to say, Tom, if you want to move here, you know, we can do a feed. We can have a reality show. 24/7.
That'd be great. You get to bear with all my
Sorry.
Humor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be great.
I mean, tell people about some of the crazy things that you've had to deal with, and also talk about some of the other things that people can see, not just listen to, but also see on redpillrising.org, so they can see some of the proof with their own eyes, and they can also donate there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for saying that. Because yeah, that always helps. What we're doing is we're going to put in the end credits of the film. Thank you to everybody that did donate and to everybody that was there, even supportive as a friend. Because, you know, it took a lot to stand up and say, I believe you. And when they're getting bashed, you can imagine what it was like. and maybe even know personally. When you first come on board on this, people are like, no, because they believe what the system says. But you're going to see the inserted material, the high school birthday, my dad's name, our Scottish clan name, all that stuff, on the first graphic of the Matrix is there. It's a split second upside down. You're going to see on redpillrising.org the Animatrix clock. We're going to be putting up the Detective Story one where it has my name, Tom Park, all dots across the screen. They changed Antique Shop to Antique House so that they can put Tom Park Aldhouse across the screen, my middle name in the middle. And then you're going to see a lot of the matchups from the original script, our script that's copyrighted, preceding Matrix, the one that was used on set, the 98 version for the 99 shoot. And that's going to show you inlays of the actual pictures that as they lifted the images, which is pretty fun. That's on that site, too. You also see the copyright trail there where they put that name, the Immortals, and put it under De Laurentiis. You'll see Assassins with him under Wachowskis, Paradise Films, and you'll see Immortals with just not the Wachowskis, De Laurentiis, and down they go. Wachowskis were actually supposed to pick one of the titles that was on that list that Mike Lang came up with from Miramax Films, the listing that's in the copyright office under Immortals. But they didn't. They wanted to be Mavericks. They were mad about Assassins, so they picked something totally different. They call it Matrix. So it's amazing. When you take the letters of Matrix, it actually reforms basically into Mortals. But I think people, you know, it's like some of the crazy things that happen, getting hauled off in the middle of the night, being run down by cars, just missing. And they always turned out to be a Mazda, charcoal gray Mazda SV5. Always. It's like the sponsor of the Cabal, sponsored by the Cabal. It's like the always a Mazda, charcoal gray SV5. And that's the one that showed up when we shared the copyright with our good friends in Canada. Great people. Neil Hensley, love him and his family. Super courage. And he actually had a car pull outside of his house, charcoal gray Mazda SV5, taking photos of his front of his house. Right after the copyright was granted. Frida Babson, here's a crazy thing. She was another one that was put on the copyright titling for me. Grandmother, artist, married to a guy named Richard, wonderful guy. She took the copy of Mike Lang's email to Becca, the honeypot wife, to England. That's what they do. They kill the dog in the yard in an England suburb. And then when she gets on the plane at Gatwick Airport, goes to get on the plane at Gatwick Airport, they apprehend her because her carry-on's sprayed full of bomb accelerant. And they take the zip drive. But that zip drive was not the emails from Mike Lang. They were already distributed. It was suggestions for how to help the Salvation Army's marketing. So it's just amazing what's been happening. Some of the crazy stuff is... go ahead.
Update? So what's the newest update with Sophia Stewart? Because you guys had kind of a little storyline going there as well, too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's getting revealed. I'm just getting totally rammed through now. Because her number one guy, Nicholas... goes by Nico. He swung over to our side. He was actually there in the beginning when our case was to be thrown. He says that she was working with the opposition's attorneys. She was put in place, pulled out of USC, just like the director for Alder Carbon was pulled out by Joel Silver out of USC. That's the go-to grounds for them. They take failed writers and bring them out. And so what's interesting is she also did the film Loft, and that's about the mistress pads like Mike Lang has in Washington. So what you've got is this whole thing, try to be clever through art. But Sophia Stewart's been caught. There's a piece now online on YouTube which reveals, you know, goes through her whole book, goes through her whole claims, and spells it all out, her court case documents, and reveals her for a complete fraud. So she actually called me when different people's platforms were being cut, Red Pill 78, Sarah Westall, all these others, and their sites were being struck. So she calls me the very day they're being struck. And says, yeah, their sites are being struck because your interviews. First she says, you know who this is? You know who this is? I said, she sounds familiar. Then she goes, okay, the sites are being struck because your interviews. Then she goes, how much are you paying people to do your interviews? I said, nothing. How much are you paying them? And then she said that you can't make your film because they'll put an injunction on it. And I said, well, that's fine. If they put a film injunction on the Immortals being made, that means there's matchups. That means we win. She goes, well, you can't do your court case. They rule with prejudice. I said, no, it was all fraud and just fraud down the line. And we haven't done the malpractice case on it. So, no, we can resurrect it easy. And, no problem there. It's the first time I heard her not bash me with swear words and just go silent and then end the call. But she's called me a number of times, too, where she's blamed me, mocked me for the death of my son. She's also on one tape she called me where she claimed she won in Las Vegas. She didn't. That she won in Las Vegas that proves she wrote the thing or something. She didn't. Nicholas made that clear. And she's on there actually going, I've got the letter, I've got the letter, like in that Nanny Nanny Boo Boo song for three-year-olds. And so she's doing that. And I'm like, what the hell? And what she's talking about is a letter that I sent Warner Brothers in 2001 before they ripped me off again in 2003, citing Demolition Man because of Jackson Beck and everything else and what was going on in Demolition Man. And so she's claiming that shows that I had pre-knowledge. Therefore, it's worth a fortune to her that she can claim the work that nobody was claiming. It's like, what? So she has no matchups, nothing else. But yeah, it's been a real rough ride with Sophia Stewart. Her job, from what Nicholas is saying now, is that she was actually an in-house witch to destroy our credibility.
Sounds like a real wack.
What?
This woman sounds like a real whack bag. I love it when these people destroy their own credibility. For the sake of everybody listening, and I'm going to make sure that I get a copy of this episode from my archive here. For the record, I want you to state your name, where you're from, your birthday, and you swearing on your 14-year-old son's life that you will never kill yourself. Can you do that for me?
Absolutely. I'm here in Houston, Texas. No sense hiding because FBI, CIA know exactly where I am, so why not good people? And birthday is as it is on the animatrix clock, July 2nd, 59, the exact birthday. And in 2003, it was 44. The red hand points to 4 past the 4. And, yeah, so that's there. And, in fact, in Good Omen, on Good Omen, which is, again, Prime, Amazon Prime, CIA-owned, basically controlled, we just found an entry where the pivotal moment where the birthday party is happening, where he's supposed to take, the Antichrist is supposed to take control as a kid, the world, it shows on the camera 7-2-59 with 4-4. That's how sick they've gone. So, yeah, I swear, yeah, no way, I would never take my life. My life is too amazing, and I've got 15 more screenplays in me, with me. And I'm not going to, no, there's a great world coming, and I want to stick around to see it for my children, too. So it's going to be good. There's no way I would ever do what my sister's probably going to do. I'm going to live.
Okay, so you don't do drugs. You don't own a weapon. You're a good driver, right?
Yep.
Well, I want to get all this out in the open. You're not a clumsy person.
Yeah, no drugs, no drinking, no smoking, no criminal record, no driving record. You know, just all clean.
You're okay. So, and you're unvaccinated, right?
There's no way I'm getting that shot.
Okay. 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 So you're healthy, clean as a whistle. You're mentally healthy.
Yep.
Clean as a whistle. You're fired up. You got a job, dude. You got a mission. You're not in any legal trouble, so there's no reason why you should end up in police custody anyways.
No.
If anything happens to you, it's flat-out murder.
Yeah, okay?
You should have a place where you're going to have a daily blog. Now, Facebook sucks. And Facebook will destroy any evidence anyways, Facebook, Twitter, things like that. But you're going to have a blog here. I know you got the Red Pill Rising and all that, but you're going to have a social spot where you're going to update everybody on what you're doing, at least. Yeah. I know the camera idea is pretty absurd, a camera running 24/7, but it's a bit absurd. But yeah. Not that... wouldn't completely protect you, but at least you know, you keep your thoughts and don't keep yourself a mystery to your public. I want you posting and blogging your information on the site that I gave you. Okay?
Yep. Absolutely.
I did get the site right. Don't mention it over there. I did get the site right.
Yep.
okay, I want you to post there at least, you know, a couple times a day. All right? So people know, they can follow you, and it's not going to be a question. Okay? I want you safe. I want you in the courtroom. I want you whooping that ass and getting some justice, okay?
I want all to be celebrating, too. All celebrating later. And that's those that believed in us, too. When they said, I believe you, we're going to all celebrate together. I appreciate those people have the courage to stand when it's more popular to say no way. But I'll tell you one thing, too. The tactic of the Alphabet Boys, as they call them, this is how they do it. They want you to die an inglorious death, an inglorious one. So what they want you to do is they take operatives, act like they're homeless. I've seen this so many times. And the homeless are supposed to take you out. That's supposed to be like an altercation where you actually, they'll claim that you had an altercation with a homeless person, and because of your arrogance and narcissism, you died at the hands of a homeless person. How low are you? That's one of the tactics they want to employ. So I am never going to get...
Targeted individuals are homeless, and if a targeted individual, a homeless individual can be promised that to be let out of the program, they will turn assassin.
And also, too, another one they like to do, which also simultaneously assassinates your character, is they'll say, oh, you know, Will would never kill himself, but he got caught up with some autoerotic asphyxiation or something like that. I would never do that. Sure. I have different things that I like, and it has nothing to do with choking myself, so I wouldn't do that. Right. I can't speak for any of these guys, but that's another thing that the CIA, like you said, the Alphabet Boys would be like, oh, yeah, he was beating his meat and he died.
That's right.
Hey, listen, if you hear me choke jacking, at least you know I died hard. We have Thomas House here with us. We're gonna kick some butt. Thank you, Thomas, for joining us.
The site, you know, redpillrising.org, you look at the evidence and what's going to be through the documentaries and stuff, it's like, it's irrefutable. Even their attorneys admitted it. They admitted
Everybody check it out. Go check it out. Redpillrising.org. So that's all the time we have for today, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you had fun. Tomorrow night, we're going to have on Karen Stewart, NSA whistleblower. We're going to talk about the Havana syndrome a little bit in more depth. Analytical perception there. And guys, remember, July 5th, tune in to this show. You get to become the insiders. If you tune into that show, you get to be one of the insiders because of the information I'm going to give you. You're going to get to be let in on the long-awaited project, okay? It's very important. So tune in. Yes, this will be another episode of Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, B, and remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So please educate yourselves.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.